Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You are listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and we are going to have an open forum today, and you are welcome to participate in the forum. We are going to be having as our co-host an inquisitor, Alfred Y. Muhammad, young man that will be the featured speaker at the Mosque's Muslim Convention, and he will be speaking at the public address. And you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. I always say 805, but it's actually 805-727-7013. 805-727-8013. You know, I'm a southerner from Lynchburg, Virginia. So sometimes I have a tendency to say the O and zero, but it's zero. We want to see, we're not on zero, but we're certainly channeling beyond zero. We're looking forward to you all listening to the program, and God willing, we're going to discuss some very important issues, perhaps even interracial marriages. We're going to discuss some of the hot button issues. We're even going to discuss what's in the news, and we're going to discuss issues surrounding the convention. But also, I'd like to make an announcement to you about the upcoming Muslim convention, and also to make you aware of some powerful, powerful activities. And let me just say here that we are not at all ashamed of discussing controversial issues. So give me your ear as I tell you about the low-cost plane trip, the community of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad is sponsoring a low-cost trip to the Mosque Cares annual convention 2015. 12 seats are due by July 20th for the group rates to be locked in. We need you. Rate Seattle, $420 round trip. Washington, D.C., $318 round trip. Atlanta, $171 round trip. New York, $269 round trip. Los Angeles, California, $350 round trip. Texas, $388 round trip. And Newark, New Jersey, $260 round trip. And Florida, $307 round trip. Philadelphia, $310 round trip. These are phenomenal prices. And we all should be prepared to come to the Muslim convention. I put out a challenge on Facebook today about the community-wide shura body. I said if I were people, I would support the convention. Now, you can challenge me if you want. I'm prepared to debate Minister Farrakhan. I'm prepared to debate community-wide shura. I'm prepared to debate anybody. And the reason I'm prepared to debate them, because I believe that the program that Imam Muhammad has set up in the person, in the form of the Mosque Cares Convention, Savior's Day, the Ramadan session, the New World Patriotism Days are national days, that this should be community-wide supported. And I believe that a lot of these efforts that are coming forth in this community by others are really meant to be impediments. As a direct result of our impediments, they're stopping the progress of this community from building a full-fledged educational system, K through graduate school and professional school, having our own universities. I believe our vision should be Clara Muhammad schools throughout these United States in every neighborhood we live in. I believe that we should have W.D. Muhammad High School everywhere we are. I believe that we should have Elijah Muhammad Technical School wherever we are. I believe we should have the great heroes, Imam Yusuf Shah, institutes and great institutions to train our people. And I believe that the only way we will have these kinds of education institutions, Muhammad University of Islam, Phoenix, Muhammad University of Islam, New York, that's what we should have. And if we are to have that, Ephraim Baha School of Political Science, Raymond Sharif School of Physical Training, all these great institutions we can have, but we'll never get them as long as we're divided, as long as we're confused, as long as we're diffused, as long as we have different people talking different things, different, and we're not on message. But it's my job as a leader of Religion Means Alive to be the most competitive voice known in America, to let the world know I am convinced that we can have our own medical schools. I am convinced that we will have our own law school. I am convinced that we can have our own engineering school. I am convinced that we can have comprehensive universities. We should have at least 20. It's 40 million of our people. For every million of our people, we should have 40 universities supported by Muslim African Americans. What about the other African American colleges? We should make MosCare such a big foundation, such a big charity, that it can give to the historical African American colleges millions and billions of dollars. We're not a small group. There are at least 2.5 million of us. We're not a small group. There are at least 5 to 10 million sympathizers. We're not a small group. We have 40 million. And rather than wasting our time on who is going to be the president of the United States, wasting our time on what is going to be a march, just as well, wasting our time on who got shot, who got killed by a policeman. We should put our energies like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put his energies into and build a powerful nation. I just got a report from a person today that told me that a man by the name of Bennett Johnson had done a study of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's influence on development businesses in the African-American community. One of the great African-American business people said that he was influenced to go in business as a result of the inspirational teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am convinced that we can develop vocational school. I am convinced that we, in fact, can develop an economy. We can feed ourselves. We can go to the farm. We can have our own transportation. We can even develop our own rail line. We can even go and develop our own freight lines and develop our food from the farm to the store. We believe that we can create jobs for ourselves, where our brothers who want to be head of households, that want to be married, will be able to sell merchandise that come out of our farms, milk that's produced in our dairy, bread that's produced in our bakery, canned goods that are produced in our cannery. We believe that we can create jobs phenomenally for our people. We can clothe ourselves. We believe that we can go to the farms, have our own leather, produce our own shoes. We believe that we can go to the sheep and produce our own clothing. We are convinced that this can happen. And if we have all this diffusion of ideas, all this diffusion of strength, all this weakness of us, we will never get there. But that's what our enemy wants. He would love for us to be weakened. He would love for us to not have strength. He would love for us to be divided. He would love for us to be concerned pettily with all kinds of minor issues. He would love for us not to forgive each other. He would love for us to be divided. He would love for the mother and father to be divided in the home. He would love that. No authority among us. And therefore, by not having any authority among us, we would not be able to develop the kind of leadership that gives us a strong and powerful community. We believe that our enemy would not want that, that he's willing to infiltrate. He doesn't mind us singing songs. He doesn't mind us clapping in the church. He doesn't even mind us making salat. He doesn't mind any of that. But he does not want you to worship God as God wants to be worshipped. And God wants you to be worshipped, want to be worshipped by serving humanity. And who is the most precious of his humanity? The people who have been crushed under the mud. And I speak of none other than the so-called American Negro, the black man, the colored man, whatever we call ourselves, in and of itself tells us that there's a problem. So I'm going to shut up, but I do want to say we should have our own concert hall. I do want to say we will must have our own record label. I do want to say that we must have our own dance company, that we must have our own performance center, that we must take over the cultural apparatus. I also must say, in the political arena, that we must develop strong individuals. We must develop strong families. We must develop strong neighborhoods. We must develop strong political representation, just as others are doing in America. And we are not going to allow anything to stop us. God is with us to bring back our humanity to the fullest. And I now will shut up and listen for questions as we are questioned by Alfred Y. Muhammad, Alfred Yusuf Muhammad, who is here to help us interpret the American dream, who is here to help us to interpret the African-American dream, who is here to help us interpret, in fact, the global dream, who is here also to help us interpret even, in fact, the Islamic dream, which has become a nightmare. Just think of the fact that in Chattanooga, Tennessee, some madman picked up the Quran, thinking he understood it, but didn't have a brain, and consequently felt that he had something. But he didn't say no. Felt that he had something, that grievance, and he was so angry. He was so jealous. He was so mad. He went and blew up people who were sworn to protect this country. I say to you, dear people, that what you need is the kind of leadership that will produce the kind of vision that will produce for us a people to be the people. We don't just need to sit around and find out what happened in history. We don't need to just find out what happened in the past. What we need to do is pick up, have our own 40 acres of mule, use our own 40 acres of the mule to talk about your human potential. They never had an intention to give you any 40 acres of the mule. You already got your 40 acres in your mule. Now get on your mule and go to work. That's your human potential. With that, Brother Alfred Y. Muhammad, I'm going to shut up and listen to a peacemaker. Tell me what's up.
I wanted to ask you a couple questions. And the first question is, talk about the Ramadan session that just passed, and what did you talk about, and where was it held, et cetera? Like, what was the purpose of the Ramadan?
Thank you. Would you please put the top of my pen? Thank you. I'm sorry, dear people. I have a fetish for pens. So, you know, God says that he taught man the alama bil kalam. And we say in Arabic, kalamni. Kalamni, my pen. So I have a love for pens. Well, what was the Ramadan sessions about? Let's first of all give the history of the Ramadan session. Ramadan session was started by a beloved leader and teacher, Imam Waqidi Muhammad, and continued by his ministry under his son, Imam Waqidi Muhammad II. It is to bring the best minds of our people together to present, and the purpose for them to present is the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding. I know Psalm says the tafsir of Imam Waqidi Muhammad. But actually, it's more than the tafsir. It is the ta'wil of Imam Waqidi Muhammad, the interpretation. We have the Quran. We have the life example of Muhammad the Prophet. But what we don't have today is a modern, a 21st century interpretation and application of the sources of Al-Islam, but not just the sources of Al-Islam. Al-Islam is one aspect of Imam Muhammad's teaching, but Imam Muhammad's teaching is guidance for all people. So Almighty God has blessed him to understand Bible, to understand world religions, and to help them come more fully into their humanity. Well, with reference to the Ramadan session, the Ramadan session 2015 was held at the Mosque's headquarters in Hazelcrest, Illinois, the worldwide headquarters of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. And this year's topic was researching our faith for implementation of leadership. I expounded on the need. I first addressed the subject of how leadership had first been in the sky. And man looked to the sky, and then man started talking about the Heavenly Father. But God calls a meteorite to come down on earth and tell man that his concern was to be on earth. So that's the first thing I told man. And why did I bring that up? Because there's still those of us looking up in the sky. We're looking for a sky religion. We're worried about what's going on in the heavens. We're worried about the spiritual dimension. Some are even worried about the cosmic dimension. But we're not worried about Ray Ray, who doesn't have a job. We ain't even worried about Ray Ray, who doesn't even have a mind. Because if Ray Ray had a mind and Keisha had a mind, then Ray Ray would make jobs. If 50 cents was worth a dollar, he wouldn't be tied up in his shrimp in court. So Satan is laughing at us, calling them 50 cents. And then they laugh at 50. Well, they're making a fun of 50. 50 is a play on the word five. You take the zero off, but you got five. So he said, oh, look, you Negroes, y'all don't have five senses. You got a zero. So I started off by saying it's great to be above zero. So at the Ramadan session, we were talking about providing leadership. And our leader, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad II, was on fire. He was filled up. God was guiding him towards organizing the community, towards bringing money to our pockets, to building communities up and building our markets up. So it was a phenomenal session. I particularly reference my presentation, because I gave a curriculum. I didn't come to talk from the hip. The days of shooting from the hip is over. The days of talking from the sky is over. The days of talking from the spirit is over. God has guided us. It's how to build his kingdom on earth. God says in the Quran, Malik Nas, he's the king of man. And therefore, we spoke from that theme.
All right. Well, you said that it was about leadership was the topic in the Ramadan session, talking about what leadership and what
researching our faith for implementation of leadership. Research. We want to search and research scientifically our faith. We're Muslims, right?
Yeah.
But we also know we reach Christians, right? So we should research the Bible. We should read, but not from our own mind, but from the guidance of God through Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. So we have to understand these things. We have to understand that researching our faith means that we may have Quran, we may have what we call scientific studies of Hadith. We may even have knowledge of the law, hudud, punishment, all these subjects. Mm-hmm. However, if we don't have understanding, all we have is a bunch of words. And Imam Muhammad called it dead letter scripture. The Quran has been dead The Bible has been dead.
What do you mean by dead?
Meaning it's just been words. It hasn't had any meaning. So therefore, the people are in darkness.
Doesn't have any meaning?
Well, you don't have to understand of it. Allah said none can touch it but the pure in heart. So what I'm saying is, pretty obvious that Osama bin Laden didn't have a Quran, right?
It was dark. Not
he didn't have any. It's pretty clear that Dr. Ayman Nuzhara, that his deputy didn't have any other Islam, that al-Baghdadi doesn't have any other Islam, because otherwise they wouldn't be doing these crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The guidance of God is not with them. The guidance of God is with us. And some make a mistake and say, oh, if you pick up the Quran, that's the salvation. No. A lot of people got the Quran. God has to bless you. And God has blessed this community, the community of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad.
So,
and we are going to lead the world back to life. Yes,
so on that note, I'm asking another question. It wasn't even on the record. What do you think about the people who are embracing that whole culture with the, wearing the black garbs and, just basically following the whole Shia,
well, Satan,
Sunni method? Why do you believe they're doing it?
Well, if they're African Americans, they don't have no identity.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead.
Yeah.
Why would I want to appear like somebody I'm not? Why would I want to have desert garment on
in
the United States of America and Alaska? That's the prophet's cultural dress. That's not his internal dress. God says in the prophet, in the prophet, you have the best model. Uswa Hasanatan. Uswa Hasanatan. An excellent model. But it didn't say that his cultural traits, Imam Muhammad's cultural traits of loving cornbread and cabbage is not going to save us. Buttermilk is not going to save us. Blueberry pie is not going to save us, rubbing chapter. That's not going to save us. What's going to save us is the understanding that of the religion that can be applied in time and space in America. But also people in the Western world will know how to deal with time and space and circumstance, and that's what we have been given through the teachings of Imam Waqidi.
Do you believe that this embracement, this taking on of the culture of this, the
Eastern community? Yeah.
Do you believe that this is creating division? Because this is really segueing into my next question about how does this create division within our community?
Yes, it does. It really does.
Yeah.
It's deliberate. And it's back to the same premise that I said.
Mm-hmm.
The premise is that our enemy, the Shaitan and his demons, want to control our markets. Let's get to business. There's markets here. If you keep people fooled, they won't build schools.
Uh-huh.
If you keep people fooled, they won't develop strong families. If they don't develop strong families, who's going to rule them? Satan. So knowing that African Americans had a slight disturbance and we had to take care of something.
Quell it.
We are in this position because there are people that do not want to see us develop. So they come over here selling us costumes. Well, they're really saying something when they give all our women black. They're saying you're dead, Negroes. You're dead. And they said what they're saying is they make you wear black because they said all you got is your soul. Black represents the nature. No life. You don't have any sense of coloration that you can have different colors for your soul. You know, but these African-American people, African-American people have been damaged.
Mm-hmm. And you even see that in some like nowadays with a lot of the kids my age, they say I wear black when I'm feeling
down.
When I'm feeling evil, and I wear white when I'm feeling godly.
Yeah.
That's
so I want to read you what a Caucasian man by the name of Mr. Berry said. He was one of the founders of this country. Excuse me just a minute. I want to read this to you. I'm looking for something. Please, Joe. Let's go out. Go out, please.
Finding it?
I'm looking for it. Anybody who disturbs something like that could be acting in the role of a devil. Don't interrupt us. Virginia House of Representatives Henry Burris, we have far as possible closed every avenue by which a light may enter the slave's mind. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work will be complete. They will then be on the level of a beast of the field, and we then to be saved. So what we see is that this man's work has been successful.
Mm-hmm.
When we see an African-American in 2015, 40 years after the coming of Imam Waqidi Muhammad,
and
still...
after that God said that.
Yes, this is about 250 years after that. A man, a people, light has come to them. I could understand African-American 40 years from now trying to walk around and be somebody else, 50 years ago. But he is an enlightened teacher of Quran. And, well, just not Quran, but enlightened teacher, purity, Imam Waqidi Muhammad, who have restored our nation. And you notice I said, I didn't say Quran. Imam Muhammad said he was not saved by the Quran. He was saved by his nature. And if our nature is restored, if our nature is not restored, we could pick up the Quran and we would just be a fool with the Quran. Huh? The Quran is for thinkers. It is for free men. The Quran shouldn't even be in a physical jail. What could a prisoner do with the Quran?
Nothing.
The Quran is for thinkers. It is for builders. It is a manual how to build the most advanced society known to man. That's what we have to understand. This is no spooky, superstitious project.
Do you believe that the Imam, you know, when Imam W.D. Muhammad was alive, do you believe he was that last bastion that kept the community together and really, really fought against the division, you know, that was...
No, I don't believe he was the last. I believe that what happened is, while he was here, the enemies had so much light on them that they didn't come out. If you watch Roaches, generally, roaches come out at night. Rats come out at night. They're nocturnal beings. I live in a neighborhood once where as soon as it got dark, you see a lot of raccoons. Well, that's what these vermins are that we see opposing this work. That's what these people are that are opposing the work of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, no, we're going to get strong. We're going to get strong. I'm like Muhammad predicted that we would go away. We're going to get stronger. We're going to build schools again. This is going to be one of the greatest renaissance. No, what we're now beginning to do is to see these weak devils that have been pushing a weak agenda. And as a result of that weak agenda, they have fed weakness to the people. That's why I speak strong. I speak with power to the people. And that's what the people need, the power of God to be put back in them again, to believe that God has not abandoned them, neither has he forsaken them. That's what we need. Yes.
Why do you believe that some of these imams speak against, you know, the Ramadan session and the convention and all these things? Why do you believe they speak against?
Because they're paid to do it. They're nothing but plants.
Paid to
yes, sir. And what reason I say that because Mr. Stoner of the White Citizens Council said the way to deal with the nigger Muslims is to flood them with nigger pimps and nigger hustlers. The Counter-Terror program is still in effect. That was J. Edgar Hoover's program.
The what program?
The Counter-Terror program.
Counter-Terror.
Yeah, started in the 60s to destroy black organizations and to destroy independent black leadership. J. Edgar Hoover, a homosexual degenerate created this kind of plan to destroy leadership among us. Now, this is not an attack on the FBI. This is an attack upon a sinister force that operates within the FBI. I don't believe the FBI is doing that today. There may be elements in this country may be doing it, but I don't believe this is supported by the government.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where do you think the community can go without this division, and how soon?
Well, I think this community will. Let me get your question again. Where will the community go?
Yeah, where do you think the community can go?
I think we're going to getting stronger and stronger. I was at the Ramadan session, and I found a determined spirit with good, sincere believers who didn't come out to see Imam Muhammad as a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
didn't come out because it was popular to come out, didn't come out because they were waiting for their imams to tell them to come out. They weren't waiting for some lieutenant hiding in a back door alley to tell them it was okay to come out. More than waiting for some family member of the Honorable Muhammad to tell them to come out. But they were coming out because their spirit, the same spirit that got into Nat Turner, the same spirit that got into Gabriel Prosener, the same spirit that got into Booker D. Washington, the same spirit that got into Mary McLeod Bethune, that spirit of the superego drove them to come to the Ramadan session. And our spirit met that spirit. And we got stronger and stronger. And that same spirit is going to drive them to the convention. And they're going to fill the buses up. They're going to fill the planes. They're going to fill the cars up. And we're going to fill the halls up. And it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until we have the best educational system, until we have the best business system, until we have the best cultural system, until we have the best association on the planet Earth.
Now, we just wanted to talk about the upcoming convention and what do you plan on talking about at the upcoming convention?
I will be doing a workshop and I'm the chairman of the Public Address Committee. And one of the persons that will be speaking at the workshop, at the convention public address, will be Alfred Y. Muhammad. And there is a sister by the name of Essence Dickinson. She's an honor student.
Wait, at the convention public address?
Yeah, you will be one of the speakers. Essence Dickinson will be one of the speakers. She's an 18-year-old honor student. I think she has a 3.8 average. She's from Wichita, Kansas. She is the daughter of Imam Luzon, and she will be speaking, honor student, another honor student, and the person of Alfred Y. Muhammad, who yesterday turned 18 years old, but he was born on the 19th of July, 6 days before his dad's birthday. And I think we are going to see a very powerful turnout at the convention. I certainly intend to be at the convention. I certainly am looking forward to the convention. I certainly am spirited for the convention. And I believe with that being in mind, we're going to have a great convention. And remember what the convention's title is. Claiming your inheritance. Being mindful of your duty to your Lord. Not to your landlord. Not to the Lords of London. But to the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of the systems of knowledge. And so I expect to be at the convention. I expect to see people from the United States. I expect to see people from all over the United States. I expect to see people from Canada, the Caribbean, Bermuda, and many countries. We're going to be all who support the leadership of the Imam Warabuddin Muhammad. They won't be there for personalities. They won't be there because they'd be driven. They're going to be there to witness the body of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding which Imam Warabuddin Muhammad has given us. They won't be there for talkers. Won't be there for slackers. Won't be there for criticizers. Won't stand on line. Won't be there for spectators who want somebody else to give them freedom. They will be there because Almighty God's Spirit has driven them. Almighty God's Spirit has driven them to be very powerful, and we thank you. So you can join the broadcast by dialing 805 805-727-8013. Religion.
805-727-7013. All right. Now, just give us a brief history on the convention and why the UMAM created it and its inception.
Yes, I thank you for that. The convention was created, first of all, we should understand that Imam Waruddin Muhammad followed the tradition of the great leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as I said at the Ramadan Center, the greatest leader America has ever known, and Imam Muhammad being the greatest leader that the world has had since Muhammad himself, the leader of humanity. Now, Elijah Muhammad used to have Savior's Day. There used to be massive gatherings, tens of thousands of people. It would be an opportunity for him to address the concerns of our people. Imam Muhammad, when he first came in office, used to have what was called Ethnic Survival Day for maybe 3, 4, 5 years. I think he ended them in 1975, maybe 1980. He had maybe 80, by 85 he had stopped pretty much having a national convention. And he wanted us to go back to our local areas and develop them. Then once he had established a religion and the proper perspective we had on America, on our ethnicity, and on our, certainly on first and foremost, our religion, then he started the conventions again. And if I'm not mistaken, this will be the 26th annual convention, Muslim convention. And the purpose is to gather the better minds of the community to address us. Imam Muhammad said every time we have a convention, somebody should get rich. Mm-hmm. Every time we have a gathering, somebody should get rich. So the purpose of these gatherings, this big convention, is to bring the best minds together. And I believe that in time, we were going to get back to true we'll go up to 5,000, we go up to 10,000, eventually we go to 25,000, 34,000, and we go to 100,000. Our water won't be any place where we can be seated at. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, that's when every year, we're going to build more schools, we're going to build more businesses, we're going to build more cultural centers, we're going to build more associations. People that go run for office can come up before us, and they'll raise all the money they need to run for office. Right at our convention. And you know what? I've seen that happen. I've seen that the 1974 convention, us raised $1.1 or more million dollars. And that's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon and very soon. So I'm excited about the convention. I'm as pumped up as a young Christian boy would be about Santa Claus.
Now, many times people, when people go to the convention, they get caught up in the whole, you know, spiritual aspect of it. Talk about some of the other, like, another aspect of it, which is to promote business and how...
Yeah, well, one of the first things is we want to promote a strong family life. So we want people to bring their families. Number two, Ruford and Jenny Triplett are going to do a seminar on Let's Get Married. So there will be marriages there. I expect to have my license to perform marriages right there at the convention. We're going to be bringing families together. There will be educators coming together. They will be mentally married, and they will build better schools. There will be people probably in the for-profit school business. They'll come together, and they'll say, oh, man, I'm doing for-profit school. Let's get together and open up the school. So it's going to be a chance for the best minds, the best resources, to come together. There will be others coming together to merge our businesses. Accountants will be there. Lawyers will be there. And there will be law firms built, engineering firms built, stores built. All this will happen because we're going to have the new African market. But it's an opportunity. And you know what? A great psychoanalyst once said to me, you mean you all have conventions? Who sponsor you? Do book companies sponsor you? You get money from the government? Do you get money from founders? No. We get it from ourselves. And this is the most... Do you know how significant this is, Alfred Muhammad. There is no African American group in these United States that have their own conventions that are not sponsored by somebody else. Now, that's sad. And I don't care if 50 of us come. I've seen gatherings of 50 of our people, and they had to get a grant from somebody else. They had to go and beg some white man to give them that which they can do for themselves. I know African Americans are now complaining, moaning, and bitching, unfortunately, because one other African American has now been anointed to be the new successor to James Baldwin. Toni Morrison just said that this man is now the anointed successor of James Baldwin. And the African American writers are jealous and angry.
Who was that?
He is a young man that writes for a magazine called Atlantic Magazine, which is worldwide. The African, we don't own any magazines. We don't control any magazines. Because we're too busy begging white folks to do for us that we can do for ourselves. We don't have literary publications. We don't have publishing companies because we're too busy complaining and thinking that the white man is God. If we don't think the white man is God, some will think the Arabs are God. So we go beg, borrow, and in some cases steal from others for that which we can get up and do for ourselves. And I'm speaking deliberately to African-American soul to get them out of this begging, borrowing, battering syndrome. Get them into the responsibility of doing for self that the great leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, set forth for us. And I have to say this while I'm on this subject. Brother Minister Farrakhan, a man that I love dearly, and at some point I would have given my life for, and a man that I love and want to do everything in my power to share the guidance of God with him, is committing a very tragic, a very sad, it would be comical if it were not consisting of millions of people that he's inviting to Washington to say justice or else. And I can't believe that Brother Farrakhan, a man that I love dearly, ever followed the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad would never go to Washington to beg the white man to give him anything. And I know Imam Ward to Dean Muhammad said the only thing he would go to Washington for is to tell them to leave us alone so we could go and do for self. We said, don't send your stool pigeons in. Don't send your agents in.
What's stool pigeon?
Stool pigeon means people come in like a pigeon and it's pitched and it's up the waist. Come in and peck and kick information back to the white man. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Just don't send them in. Don't send your informants in. Don't send your disruptors in. Don't send your beating up African Americans that you're taking the life out of and send them in to masquerade like they're believers. That confuse the 2.5 million of us. There are no more than probably 1,000 hypocrites that operate among us, but they act like poison. You know, I worked for, while you were a very young man, I worked for an exterminating company. And I learned the science of extermination. And what you do is you spray roach powder around, and the roaches would kick it back into their nest, and it would destroy the roaches. Well, that's what they're doing with our believers. These hypocrites, these disbelievers, these stool pigeons, they take their poison, they go back into the nest of these good, sincere believers, this 2.5 million sincere following that are looking for direction. And that's why we need people to support Religion Means a Lot. I know somebody thinks it's self-serving, but if somebody doesn't stand up and be a witness for God and be a witness for what God has given us, who in the hell will? And I want to also say while I'm at it, that this Friday, things are getting better now. The American Muslim 360 radio broadcast has asked Imam Alfred of Religion Means Alive to be the speaker for the Jummah khutbah on mine. So we, we're, we're ready, we're willing and able to serve the community and serve its people.
What do you believe plays a factor into black people actually, African Americans actually doing the whole, you know, complaining and moaning? What are you thinking around?
Because they've been conditioned to believe that the white man is responsible for their condition.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that they got to get his permission to do which they could do for self. That's the problem. They believe that somebody else should do for them that which they could get up and do for self. So as a result of that fact, our people are looking for the white man to do for them which they could do for self. It's still the conditioning of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get out of that slave making mindset,
but I'm talking about like, as far as, like, yes, we do have a slave mindset, but what currently, today, affects African-Americans? And, like, what's, you know, what...
Well, because it's the same thing. We don't want to work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to accept leadership from among ourselves. You know, I was talking with a young African-American Muslim from our community, and he said some of his family members told him right away, why don't you go and set up your own broadcast? Why you work with him? That's the kind of mindset we have. I can't work under you. That's why they're competitors. We can't work together. If T-Mobile and Boost and Metro PCS is merging,
mm-hmm, yeah,
what should I tell a poor, ignorant African-American? Should he not be merging his resources?
Okay, one person doesn't have it, you should help the other person.
You should help that. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And in order to create a bigger goal, I mean,
that,
you know, do
that's
you
right.
Make more
that's
money?
Right. That's
yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Do you want to try to go to the open forum part of the broadcast?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
All right, well, because right now it's 45, so we just going to try to carry broadcast till 8 o'clock, but we just wanted to ask anybody in the audience or anybody listening right now that in order to ask a question, you can call into 805-727-7013 and press 1 on the on their phone in order to ask a question. Dial 1, press 1 on your phone in order to ask a question. We will also take questions through Facebook, through Imam Alpha Muhammad's Facebook page. Or you can email him at imamalfredmuhammad@gmail.com.
Just imamalfred@gmail.
Imamalfred.
I'm user-friendly. You can use me to you use me up.
Yep, that's right. So imamalfred@gmail.com. So those are the ways you can reach me. Those are the means you can reach me to ask a question. But right now, it appears no one has to ask a question. Do you have any closing statements, Imam Alfred?
Well, I would like to stay on the air another 12 minutes in case people do want there. All people listening, but many people are listening by the browser.
Yeah.
We are going to repeat this broadcast through Facebook where you can access it. It's open forum. We're in a pre-convention mode.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a mode and a spirit to develop community life. We're in a spirit to develop our youth. We're in a spirit... I'm going to be marching with Larry Hamm and Cornel West on Saturday to march against police brutality. But I'm marching really against mostly how we have engaged in brutality against ourselves, even though I will be marching with Larry Hamm and Cornell Professor West and others. I'm supporting the People's Organization for Progress. However, I think we should have a peace march in our neighborhood. And I'm hoping to work along with Reverend Moses William Howard, to work along with Larry Hamm, to work along with Dr. Cornel West and others. And it's our hope and our spirit to do what we can to work for the development of our people.
Well, actually, on that subject, talk about some of the killings that had happened lately, not on the police brutality stage,
yes.
But in our own communities.
Well, we just had a young man who's about 20 years old, college student, excellent young man, who also happens to be a Muslim. And he was stripped naked and killed worse than the most stupidest savage, I don't know if any savage would do that, stabbed repeatedly, beaten to death. We just hear that young man in Newark, Brooklyn, New York, same thing, Brooklyn, New York, killed, brutally. We just know we just came back from Chicago where it was murder city, 40 to 50 shootings per and a weekend, 4th of July weekend. Instead of us celebrating independence, we were celebrating shoot 'em up, bang, bang, blow your brains out, burn, kill the nigga.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was happening.
And we always talk about, I hate to say it, we just see
that Mr. Rick Ross, and I'm not here to predict Mr. Rick Ross's fate. And demise, I've talked about Rick Ross. Mr. Shepherd, I believe his name is, real
William
name.
Shepherd III.
William Shepherd III.
Yeah.
Former correctional officer. I'm not picking on him. I'm not trying to try his case in the court of public opinion. But I am stating the fact he's been arrested. Also, Mr. Suge Knight. Now, I know Mr. Suge Knight has been taught al-Islam and perceived by Imam Wahdi Muhammad and teaching the Ambulat Muhammad, but instead these men decide to go become criminals. And I think that's a very sad fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's sad that Mr. Rick Ross and Mr. 50 Cent, Mr. Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Shepherd, and Mr. Knight have decided to give their life over to debauchery, the criminality, and set bad examples for our people rather than set an example that would pick our people up.
Recently, in like a lot of, you know, of course, in our neighborhoods, but mostly in our community, we have had a lot of Muslim African-American men who have really followed the streets and, you know, decided to get into a life of crime and all this type of criminal behavior. Why do you think that is?
Because the voice of the masjid is very light.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the masjid is not strong. You know, we have allowed our people to turn into feces. We have not gone in the streets with big marches, calling them, saying, God has called you to this. We should go on the street, not calling them to al-Islam, calling them to their senses, calling them to productivity, saying, God has created you in the best of mode. Imam Muhammad said we should walk the streets with picket signs in these neighborhoods. That's what we've been trying to do, is get steam. Not to have show-offs that just want to march and put people down and be seen, but to motivate to pick out people up and tell them 100,000 positions at the positions await you. There's real estate properties that needed to be developed. You'll make more money doing that than you'll make money selling drugs. You'll be secure. You'll be able to build strong families. Your children will be able to look up to you. Your wife will be able to look up to you.
Well, what do you think is going on as far as, you know, the parents? You think the parents, the Muslim parents, you think
They're dead. Many of them have been just anesthetized by Eastern Islam.
Mm-hmm.
They've paid no attention to Imam Muhammad's life-giving teachings.
All right, we're looking at four right now.
We got about 6 more minutes. Ask 3 more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Send out another missive to the people. Dear people, we are sorry we have been not on the air lately, and some of you we've lost a lot of some of our audiences because you don't know if we'll be on the program or not, but we are on every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to repeat this broadcast on Facebook where people can get copies of this, and we're going to put it out so people can get copies of this broadcast. We'll send it out on Instagram. We'll send it out on other programs where people can get it. Did you have any questions, any other studio guests may have questions on here religion means alive?
Yes, I do have a question. And my question is, at the will there be any transportation going to the convention, i.e. buses or planes or anything of that nature?
Good question. Low-cost plane trips. The community of Imam Deputy Muhammad is sponsoring a low-cost trip to the Mosque Cares Annual Convention 2015. 12 seats are due by July 20th, which happened to be today. For the group rates to be locked in, we need you. Rate Seattle, Washington, $120. Round trip, Washington, D.C., $318 round trip. Atlanta, Georgia, $171 round trip. New York City, $269 round trip. Los Angeles, California, $350 round trip. Texas, $388 round trip. Newark, New Jersey, $260 round trip. Florida, $307 round trip. Philadelphia, $310 round trip. And this is the Midway Airport in central Chicago, which means you're no more than about a half an hour away from beautiful Tinley Park. I just can't wait to be at the convention and see all these great people, to know that we will have people that will talk about developing a strong educational system, a strong business system, a strong cultural and entertainment culture night. I can't even wait to enjoy the culture night. I can't wait to enjoy the association meeting. I just can't wait. I'm excited, and I expect to see you in the place. Religion means alive. We'll have a booth there. Religion means alive. We'll, in fact, conduct a workshop there. We are going to have workshops. We're going to meet. There will be breakfast. There will be dinners together. That's an opportunity to meet people. And I'm going to say to the African-American community that may be listening, this is your opportunity to meet. Remember, if you're single, Rufus and Jenny Triplett will be, in fact, conducting a Let's Get Married time.
You can see Rufus on YouTube, so you can.
Yeah, Rufus and Jenny Triplett, they're well known. They have the, whomever is doing their public relations have done a phenomenal job. They've been in Essence magazine. They've been in Ebony magazine. They've been everywhere, and they are every day. They're on Facebook at least 25 or 30 times a day, and I'm sure they have thousands and thousands of people. So we're going to be excited. We're pumped up. We're going to have Religion Means Alive on Alfred Muhammad. We're going to even have Imam Yusuf Salam. We're going to have a brother who went from being a mailman to being a medicine man, Dr. Tony El-Amin. He will be a speaker. I will introduce Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad II. I'm going to be telling why I support Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad II, why I believe his leadership is needed for this time.
Why do you believe some of the backing of the that people have for Imam W.D. Muhammad dropped off when Imam Waruthuddin II took over?
Because they were looking for an opportunity to jump ship. The leaders of them, the people, are not informed. And these hypocrites, disbelievers, and stool pigeons, and informants, and other types of people, they're not truthful people. Imam Muhammad described them as the Quraysh and the Meccans. The Quraysh was the family of the prophet's tribe. The Meccans were the people we see that was big in the Nation of Islam days. They didn't like it that their money supply was cut off. So they are now sitting down, and they are poisoning the atmosphere. But I say, as our African-American Christians used to sing, soon and very soon, they said, we are going to see the king. And I said, soon and very soon, we're going to see the kingdom. God's kingdom established on earth. It's going to start right at Mosque Cares Convention. It's going to start at Savior's Day. Because y'all don't let me, don't think I'm going to give up. As soon as the convention is over, I'm going to be on the air promoting Savior's Day. And as soon as the Savior's Day is over, I'm going to be supporting the Ramadan session. And then I'm going to be back again supporting the convention, the New World Patriotism Day. And we're going to keep on promoting the program of Imam Wahbi bin Muhammad until the cows come home. And you know when the cows come home, that's symbolic of a material society. And it's growing. We're seeing new faces in the places. And there will be more and more. There will be people like Blossom Essence. There will be people like Alfred Y. Muhammad. There will be people like Fatima Morgan Muhammad. There will be people like George Morgan. All these types of people will be coming. And they represent many types among the African-American people.
So talk about some of these, on the subject of, you know, these Ramadan sessions, these conventions. Talk about some of these, like, quasi Ramadan sessions that are taking place all across the community.
Well, these are attempts, again, to subvert people's attention away from group focus. These are the attempts by, again, the same group of people, hypocrites, disbelievers, not the people that attend these, but the people that set the leadership that set these up, are setting them up in opposition, direct opposition. They wanted to set them up when Imam Muhammad was here. And they did have that little private gathering when Imam Muhammad was here. I busted several of these people at Ramadan sessions, holding our private sessions, reinterpreting Imam Muhammad. So now they are being exposed by their absence. We should not be deceived. We should not be fooled by these hypocrites, these disbelievers. And I say to the believers, come on out. Let's be together. Let's love each other like we loved each other before. And I know for a fact we're going to get stronger and stronger, and we're going to build the strongest community on the face of the planet Earth.
Are Christians welcome at that convention?
It is a convention that says, claim your inheritance. This inheritance is an inheritance first and foremost for African-American people. Certainly they are welcome. African-American people are Christians. Some are Muslims, mostly Christians. Some are even Buddhists. Some are even atheists. Some are even Hindus. African-Americans cover the spectrum of world religion. They all are welcome. That's why it's called a public address. In the public, you find everybody. We want everybody to come. Everybody's welcome. No one would be discriminated against. Just come with an open mind, an open heart, and an open spirit. And you are welcome to be at Tenby Park Convention Center Labor Day weekend. And it is, again, claim your inheritance. You know, we've claimed the lottos. We've claimed the sweepstakes. We've claimed everything by our own inheritance. And God has not neglected us. He has not forsaken us. Neither has he been displeased. He's given us a powerful message. And that message has come through one of our own, one of the ex-dead, one of the members of the donkey class, the people that they laughed at, the laughing stock of the world, the so-called Negro, the new people. God has given us a message through Imam Wahbi Muhammad. And I think this year is going to be one of the greatest years. We have some powerful plans this year. And I believe this year we're going to come out of hiding like a bear comes out of hibernation. And you know something? When that bear comes out of hibernation, there's a lot getting ready to happen. Something's going to march through the forest, and I think that's going to happen with us.
All right. Well, you can listen to this broadcast with Imam W.D. Muhammad and myself. I'm Imam W.D. Muhammad, but Imam Alfred Muhammad and myself on Religion Means Live. Will be posted on Facebook and all of his other media outlets. Also, for updates on Religion Means Live, you can see Imam Alfred Muhammad's Facebook as well as his other media outlets. We will be posting this broadcast, as well as the many other interviews that we did. We did 3 interviews, so I will find those interviews. It's not very hard to find an interview. You just go on.
And also our Sunday broadcast.
Our blog and real, and our Sunday broadcast. You can also purchase Imam W.D. Once again, I said it again. Imam Alfred Muhammad CDs, DVDs, discs, all his whole discography, as some as most artists call it, through his PayPal, through Nam Alpha at PayPal. So.
And also, we're going to be at the Father, Son, Men, and Boys New Africa Family Day this next Saturday, next Sunday, the 26th of July, some 7 days after the birthday of Alfred Y. Muhammad, and one day after Imam Alfred Muhammad's birthday. Born some, my mother was some many years ago. I won't give the years. She was somewhat pregnant with me, and the world was awaiting a person like me. And I'm thank you for all, to Almighty God. We don't have two Alfred Muhammad in the world. There's Alfred Y. and Alfred D. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you.